Jackson. I'm going to repeat that. 37 and a quarter.
Hurry for the lead.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to an all-new Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. Raise a glass to Wendy's new bourbon bacon cheeseburger smothered in a new bourbon bacon sauce. This is a bourbon masterpiece that you eat at participating U.S. Wendy's. I'm Grant Lifman alongside Kendra Andrews, as always. And Kendra, for feeling so prepared that it really was an elimination game against the Grizzlies, at the same time, it still feels so abrupt and just so surreal that the season's over.
Yeah. I mean, when I was driving home from Chase Center just a couple moments ago, it was weird. This is the last time we'll be here for, you know, a couple months, that we'll have a Warriors basketball game for a couple months, that we'll be doing the things that we do so regularly. And it was a very open-ended ending.
Yeah, it's so abrupt. And all of a sudden, you kind of go into this post-mortem, like you try to like break down the season already. And, you know, just a second ago, we were thinking, well, let's not look into the future yet because, you know, there's so much more to go over. And all of a sudden, you scratch all that, right? And I don't want to dive in too deep into the game against Memphis. It happened. There's obviously so much that could be talked about, but people have seen the analysis on that. Let's just pick out two silver linings from the game and then kind of look forward to next season, because who the heck wants to look at the past too much? All right, start us off. What's the silver lining for you?
I think a big silver lining has been the revelation of some of these younger players, but particularly Jordan Poole. He really stepped up into this role that was a bit murky for a while, especially with all of the injuries that the Warriors were going through. They needed a tertiary scorer. Was that going to be Kelly Oubre? Well, it was for a little bit, but then he got injured. Was it going to be someone else? Well, no, they weren't really getting it from a guy like Brad Wanamaker, who the Warriors, you know, ended up trading. And Jordan Poole stepped up and into that role. You just continuously hear Steve Kerr and the other players talk about how much of a 180 turn he made from last season. And so I think he, you know, also you can throw Juan Toscano Anderson in that category of young guys who've been revelations for this team, but just picking one of them, I think Jordan Poole's really cemented himself as part of this rotation, as part of this team moving forward.
Yeah, as a silver lining from the game, Jordan Poole was 19 points. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. But more importantly, he made the biggest plays. He had 3 clutch free throws that they needed. He hit a monster three. He had the play that tied the game by drawing the defense and doing a beautiful little pass to Andrew Wiggins for the tying bucket to send it overtime eventually. Jordan Poole has arrived. And there was a while there that we were kind of looking at it and saying, what's the sample size that we need to see before we're finally convinced? What is this? What is that? The guy's here. He's 21 years old. Next season, he'll be 22. And the Warriors are going to count on him. They're going to look at it and say, we have this piece and we expect big things out of him, because they can. Because he went from a guy that really was not good at finishing at the rim to being very good. He missed the whole part where you're like, okay, and then good and great. No, he was incredible. And some of the finishes he had in that Memphis game were sensational. Jordan Poole is a piece, and he's going to be a piece for the future. He's so young, so talented, and you know he's hungry for more. And that's why I completely agree, Kendra. That silver lining from that game, my goodness, like he was that team. The Warriors don't exist in that overtime or anything if Jordan Poole's not out there.
Well, I mean, and even I know we said we weren't going to look back, but even just referencing a couple of the past games leading up to that Memphis game against the Lakers and against the Grizzlies again in the last regular season game, Jordan Poole just consecutively scored at least 20 points a game, and that's what they need. And of course, this does lead to a question of now looking forward of, okay, well, what does this mean for a guy like Kelly Oubre? And I don't think that this means, well, now the Warriors don't need Kelly Oubre. They don't want him. But what it does, it just gives them some cushion. It gives them, if Kelly Oubre were not to return to the Warriors for whatever reason, and there's a couple that could happen, it's not a panic mode of, well, crap, where are we going to get this boost from off the bench? Because Klay Thompson will be coming back, moving him to the sixth man role. They don't have to panic about that. They know that they will have someone who can provide that extra boost. And as you said, he's only 21, going to be 22. He is going to be here for a while. And that, again, checks another box off of this season of saying the Warriors needed to figure out how to develop and win now. And Jordan Poole is the living, you know, embodiment of developing now while also helping them win now.
Absolutely. He got so much, some serious pressure, playing time and moments that really should help him in the future. And going back to what you're saying, might as well talk Kelly Oubre right now before I go to my silver lining about the game. But Kelly Oubre obviously was a missed piece. We talked about at great length the roller coaster of a season he had. It's incredible, the ups and downs of the season. But to me, Jordan Poole and Kelly Oubre, the only similarity about them to me was that they were going to probably come off the bench. Their roles and who they are and just their completely different position group. And people have brought that up, Kendra. It's like, well, what does this mean for Kelly Oubre, et cetera? The Warriors don't look at Kelly Oubre in any realm and say something that's related to Jordan Poole. For them, this is a wing player that brings a defensive edge, something they don't have. Jordan Poole's not a defensive player. And the other thing he does is bring just athleticism and ability to score from the wing position. Now, the thing about him is what is even potentially even more useful about him is a salary slot. And so bringing him back is a salary slot situation because you're so far over the luxury tax, you can't just sign a guy for that amount of money. So if they can bring him back, that gives them that salary slot while they're still above the tax. So there are a lot of benefits to having him on the court playing for them, but there's also just benefits of paying him to be on the team to, let's be honest, trade him eventually. So the other thing that could happen with Kelly Oubre is a sign and trade. It's a lot more complicated of a process. In this scenario, the team that Kelly Oubre decides to go to, it's his choice. He's an unrestricted free agent. Mm-hmm. That team, if it's not the Warriors, that team then has to agree to do a sign and trade with the Warriors. It's up to them. That team would have all the power. They get to decide. So, there's a lot up in the air. We can go in future pods. Kendra, we'll talk about that in the future. But for silver linings, this is a random one. And this is a glass half full look if we're doing silver linings. Because
I don't know what silver linings are, though.
I guess so, right? Kind of same thing. Because the Warriors lost, and I promise you no one's happy they lost, but because they lost, they get a lottery pick. That's what happens. By losing this game, the Warriors have the 14th slot for the draft lottery. Well, technically speaking, if you want to look at percentages, the Warriors have a 97.59% chance of keeping the 14th pick overall. 97.59, pretty high.
That's better than the percentages you gave us the other day when we talked about the Minnesota pick. So okay. I think they'll take the 97.
Yeah, no, but it's not that. No matter what, Kendra, 100% they're getting a pick, unlike the Minnesota one. It's 97.59, they get the 14th pick. But if they don't get that, that means when they open the first card on draft lottery night, the first card is the 14th slot. And if it doesn't say the Warriors on it, that means they just hit somewhere in a 2.4% chance of falling anywhere between the 1 and 4 pick. They can't go anywhere between 1 and 4 and 14. Nothing in between. That doesn't exist for them. So they have a 2.4% chance of landing in 1 through 4. They have a 0.5% for number 1, a 0.56% chance for number 2, a 0.63% chance for number 3, and a 0.72% chance for number 4. All that adds up to 2.4. So that is what is happening. Can the Warriors, get unbelievably lucky and jump up from the 14 through a 1 for 4? Sure. If not, they have a very, very good, tasty mid-round, first-round pick that they can either pick somebody or package it in a trade. So much of our conversations very soon, Kendra, will lead up towards the draft lottery, right? That is such a major, major factor. We talked about the Minnesota pick. I don't know. Do you want me to go over that or not right now?
It's up to you. I mean, if you just get so excited, you know, it's kind of nice to see you so excited.
Okay. I mean, why not on a game after the season ends, let's get excited about something. Very quickly to review again, we will go over this much more in the future. The T-Wolves finished with the sixth worst record. That means that the Warriors to keep their pick has to again fall out of the top three. The Warriors have a 9.62% chance of getting the number four pick, 0% chance of getting number five pick, 8.62 getting number six, almost 30% getting number seven, over 20% getting number eight, almost 4% getting number nine, et cetera. So that pretty much gives them a 72% chance of getting the Minnesota pick. So that means they had a 100% chance of keeping their pick, could be 97.6% chance of getting a 14 or 2.4 getting 1 through 4. And then for the Minnesota pick, they have a 72% chance of keeping the pick or getting the pick. Have you gone cross-eyed yet? Is everyone okay?
I think I stopped paying attention like 3 minutes ago. Kidding.
No, I mean, if you haven't tuned out so far off this podcast, really, I commend you. You get a free bourbon bacon cheeseburger. No, I'm just kidding. You don't get that. I get that. So we will go again. We will dive into picks. And one thing we'll definitely cover, who are the players that could be available if they land those picks? Those are hot topics that I am very excited to discuss, but I digress.
I mean, it's wow. Well, first off, wow.
Yeah.
That was good. Good job, Grant. But second, that is a huge silver lining. And look, the Warriors were going to need to do some roster construction, whether or not they made it into that first round of the playoffs against the Jazz. So if this helped their chances of getting one of those picks, then that 100% is a silver lining because it needed to happen regardless of how far they made it in the postseason. Now their chances are even better. And it's, yeah, roster construction, reconstruction is going to be one of the most, if not the most important things the Warriors do this offseason. So any inch of help that they can get is they will absolutely take that because like you said, is it going to be a trade package? Do they want another young guy that they're going to have to develop? But now they have a lot more options that will lead them to more success.
Someone on the Warriors in a post-game presser after the Memphis game said they're going to be involved in a roster decisions moving forward. Who was that, Kendra?
I think it was a Draymond Green. Have you heard of that man before?
Yeah. He was pretty explicit in saying he's going to have a hand in it. And he's always been involved in some way, but obviously he wants to. And Steph Curry, even in his post-game presser, you know, obviously incredibly disappointed they lost the game. He wasn't ready to be done. But one thing he also made it sound was like, we'll start evaluating soon, like what needs to be changed and what needs to be done. And he sounded like he was part of it as well. In the past, he has not been part of that, Kendra.
Yeah. Well, and Draymond Green even mentioned Klay Thompson as another guy. Those three of Draymond, Klay, and Steph, I believe all expect to be very potent, pertinent voices in these conversations that they're going to have during the offseason because, you know, everyone understands from the coaches to the front office to the other players on the team that this is their team and they would not be in any position to even make the play-in tournament, to be competitive against the Lakers, to take it into overtime against the Grizzlies if it weren't for, in this case, Draymond and Steph. And once you had Klay back, I mean, even Klay though, really on the sidelines tonight, he was, you know, he was kicking chairs. He was in the ref's ears. He was in his teammates' ears. These guys, it's their team and whatever moves this organization makes has to keep those guys in mind because it is clear that they're still in their prime. And if they want to capitalize on that and get back to, you know, being a championship contender, whoever they bring in has to complement those three players.
Well, you said something important there and you said these guys are in their prime for the age that they're at. A lot of people did not know. And we're not going to look back at this season. What we're going to say is moving forward, Steph Curry obviously is playing at a level that they can count on Steph Curry. I'm not saying he's going to repeat this, but he's Steph Curry still. And that's all you need to know. You're already have a chance at a championship if Steph Curry's on your team. But Draymond Green was a person that a lot of people had question marks about. What he put together the last couple months, last few weeks, was absolutely incredible. And he looked like Draymond of old defensively. He's brought in a whole new aspect to his game and his way he moves the ball. Scoring will be a thing, but over the last couple months, he upticked it a little bit. That's definitely something he's going to have to look to do next year, even if they supplement the team with a bunch of other scorers around him. He still is going to have to look to score. But the point is, you mentioned Clay, you mentioned Steph, you mentioned Draymond. We don't know what Clay can bring, right? They need to go into the offseason thinking, we don't know about him. But one thing they do know is they have Steph Curry playing like Steph Curry and Draymond Green playing pretty darn close to the Draymond Green that we know.
I mean, to almost quote Draymond Green, what he said is this season, he reminded people that he can F up other teams' offenses and he can manipulate other teams' offenses. And as you said, it really happened in the last couple months of this season. And the Warriors need to have that in mind heading into next season, the last few months of this season, what this team was able to do. And, you know, you can't count those guys out just because of their age, because they proved that is at least right now a non-factor. And so until they show otherwise, which I think is also a good point about Clay, until he shows otherwise that he is the Clay Thompson he was before his injuries, this needs to be the focus. And when that stops working, okay, then maybe that's when you start to adjust. But until it's like, don't fix what's not broken. And that's how the Warriors need to approach that trio.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Draymond Green's in a new deal. Klay Thompson's in a new deal. Steph Curry, that's the big, big storyline this offseason. Will Steph sign a new contract with the Warriors? That is going to be a major topic, and we will address that in the future, but that is something to keep an eye on because, whew, that is a big deal. That is a very, very big deal. We mentioned the core three in that way. Andrew Wiggins was the guy he'll be paid the third most on the team next season. He gets paid more than Draymond Green. And again, you and I have talked about him at great lengths. I've been incredibly impressed with him. I'll just say this. If they move him, it'll be for a star. It'll be him plus whatever they add to it to get a star. His trade value right now has never been higher in his life since he became the number one overall pick. His contract doesn't look as bloated with the way he played. Having said all that, if they do flip him for a star, good, we'll see. But if not, I want to see Andrew Wiggins on the team next year. I personally believe in Andrew Wiggins. I like his game. I think what he does for the Warriors is something they desperately need. What Klay Thompson was, what he was able to be, that defender, that lockdown defender, and guard the opposing guards or whoever they need to on a nightly basis to spell Steph or other guys, that's what Andrew Wiggins can be while Klay finds himself again. And if Klay can come anywhere near to where he was defensively in the past, you put him and Wiggins, Draymond out there together, that is filthy. So I'm in the boat of Wiggins. I mean, people are going to remember that last shot that he bricked. He bricked a three at the end of this game. Sure, it happens, right? But like, come on. If you're putting Andrew Wiggins as your third best scorer out there, this guy can get buckets. I'm in on the Andrew Wiggins train. I have been for a while. And I think if they can, you hold on to this guy and you ride it.
I agree. And that brick shot is just such a minuscule part of the overall body. And yes, on the heels of such a disappointing loss, you are going to pinpoint those specific things that led to the loss. But I mean, I completely agree with you. What Andrew Wiggins has done is so far beyond just a brick shot. We've said it so many times before, he was the Mr. Consistency for everything on a team that was so inconsistent. And when you think about what this team wants to do in the future, they need a guy who can be consistent. That might help them more in the long run than a star who will come in for a year, 2 years, and then move on and go somewhere else. Andrew Wiggins could really be a part of this franchise for some time, especially if he keeps up the way that he's playing. And again, we've said so many times before, it's hard not to get excited when you think about him playing alongside Klay Thompson and what that duo can do for this team. So I agree that Andrew Wiggins should be a guy that the Warriors want to invest in and should stick around.
Absolutely. The storyline coming into this year sure, was talking about what we're going to see from Steph, Draymond, but James Wiseman was the story coming into this year. That was where our focus was, and it should have been. He's the number two overall pick. They invested everything into this guy. He obviously tears his meniscus, and we've gone over his season in general, but it's time to make sure there's some optimism out there still for James Wiseman. And for that, I don't turn to us two to talk about him. I'm going to turn to a guy that knows him pretty well, maybe his former coach at Memphis, Penny Hardaway, one of my favorite players growing up ever. Well, he had a conversation with Chris Mullin and Jarrell Wright. Check out what he had to say about James Wiseman.
James is a kid that hasn't even come close to reaching his potential yet. He's still young in the game. You know, I had him for 1 year in high school, and then I left. Then he came to college for 3 months. But in that time, he soaked up so much knowledge and got so much better as a basketball player. If you would have saw him walk through our doors when he first came in from his sophomore year to going to be a junior, totally not the same kid. Wasn't on any draft board for the next 6 years, if you ask me. But he was so hungry when watching film, getting in the gym and working. He's only going to get better. And once he heals up from this injury, he's going to come to Memphis, and we're going to get back to work. So if it's up to me, we're going to advance him a lot more in the summertime between, you know, being there and being here and getting him ready and understanding what he needs to do to move forward. But his ceiling is high, man. I'm looking at Chris Bosh, and Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer. But I'm looking at that level because he needs to get back to some things that he was doing when he was in Memphis that he got away from, that I saw him kind of struggling with during the season. But then as soon as he starts to hit a stride and start doing better, he gets injured. So, yeah, his ceiling is very high. The one thing I talked about with him all year was being a rim protector. I was like, you have to protect the rim. You have to be the guy that makes the difference on the defensive end. The Warriors have really never had a rim protector. Guys, every time you come in there, they're swatting it out of there or making you adjust your shot. He was struggling with that. So that's something that I was going to watch a lot of film with him on this summer to teach him how to be an efficient rim protector. Look at all the guys in the league that are doing really well, that are top five shot blockers. What's making them different from him? And that's something that I really want to focus with him on. And energy, to be a high energy, never jog and be high energy at all times and bring his energy, whether it's setting screens, whether it's rolling, whether it's getting offensive rebounds, which he didn't do as well as I wanted him to do. And then being a rim protector. He has to do that for sure to be the superstar. The offense is going to be there. He needs to do all the other stuff to make this team back a championship contender. He's never really been a role player until now. You know what I mean? Like, he's always been the guy. And he skipped college pretty much because he only played 3 games and went right to the league to a championship contending team or a championship organization. So it was a tough transition because he wants the ball. He's always wanted the ball. And obviously, being the best player, he's always got the ball. So now he had to be, quote unquote, a role player when he's always been a superstar. And when you're the number two pick, you're not really a role player. You're coming in and they're needing you to score. They're needing you to do spectacular stuff on the offensive end and defensive end. So for me, it was a good situation for him because he didn't have to come in and be the man. But for his transition, to be fair, being as young as he is, it was a tough transition, even though he was going to do what he needed to make it right.
So as you can see, Penny Hardaway has not lost any confidence. He thinks James Wiseman has all the potential still. He hasn't seen anything otherwise that will make him think that it is the end of the game for him. Because, again, remember how young this guy is. He came into the league. We can go into that at great length again, but we're not going to. The things I really noticed from him is he said Penny's going to said he's going to train with him at Memphis. Penny wants to have a hand in this and making sure, and these are two key parts. One, getting his energy and hustle all the time. You heard that. But also, Kendra, he says we need to make him into a shot blocker, rim protector, because that wasn't something he was this year. And I think if going forward, if we're looking at the future, if you do have Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins out there, you need a rim protector, a real one. And if you have that size and a guy that athletic out there next to Draymond Green, that is where you start salivating, is the idea of him running the floor offensively, being a lob threat on offense, but more importantly, protecting the hell out of the rim.
Yeah, and you saw that in these past two playing games, how much the Warriors needed to have just that massive presence in the paint, going up against guys like Anthony Davis, Valanciunas. The Warriors, that is the biggest thing that they've lacked. And as you know, rolled off those names of Steph and Clay and Andrew and Kelly and Jordan Poole, they have enough shooting. They have enough shooting. If James Wiseman can knock down a couple shots, great. That's not a bad thing to have. But yes, the Warriors need just a big body in the paint. They can't, basketball has become such a thing of, it's become such a shooting league, and you want everyone to do that. But those typical big guys still have a place in this league. And as more just super talented big guys here and there pop up, it's going to maintain the need for you to have one of those guys. And James Wiseman can be that for the Warriors. At least that's what they want him to be for the Warriors.
Very, very, very rarely does a rookie have a very big defensive impact in the league, especially for centers. There's so much nuance to the game. It's a specialized position. You're so big, everyone tries to expose you. And James Wiseman was exposed many times this season. But if he can get a chance to work on his game, we don't know his timeline. And that's a huge part of all of this. There's so many ifs and question marks out there. And it's not as much about, and Penny is very confident he's going to come back strong from meniscus, and it's proven over time that that has been the case. But I mean, we just don't know the timeline. Are we talking, is this a guy that's going to be ready by opening night? I don't know. He could be 2 months into the opening night. And then at that point, you're putting a guy out there who's hardly played basketball before. So we truly don't know. And if we're going to throw out trade value for everyone else, Wiseman's name should still be considered a trade target as well, because there's probably teams that are intrigued by him still. They should be. But things complicate when you have injuries involved and all that. So there are so many question marks that we can go on forever about. And we will go through all these things, because we'll find out more, right? As you get more injury updates, we know that James Wiseman's going to start running soon, or Klay Thompson's already started running, all those things. As we know those things, we will talk about them.
Absolutely. And we're going to actually be talking with the front office on Monday, and going to get probably, you know, a lot more clarity, at least as to what are their priorities. We say what we think their priorities should be, but what are they, you know, what do they think are the top things they need to address heading into that? And a lot of that is going to have to do with their timeline on James Wiseman, as we said, on Kelly Oubre, on Klay Thompson, on so many things. So that should be a very interesting conversation.
Absolutely. I'm very excited for that. Some other names that are on the roster next season that I think it will fit in just great is Damian Lee. The Warriors really could have used him down the stretch. COVID just wrecked him and wrecked his season, as it did for so many other people as well. But Damian Lee shot nearly 40% from three. He was a veteran presence for a guy that's hardly played in the league. They're going to need someone like him off the bench next year, and they're going to be happy to have him. Juan Toscano-Anderson, his story is too good, and he's not just a story. He's a legitimate piece for the future. He's an Andre Iguodala light for them, and they will be much better for having Juan Toscano-Anderson on their team. Kevon Looney played really, really well down the stretch, stayed healthy, put up big minutes, rebounded a lot. He was their only center for a long time, and he has a player option. He gets to decide, does he want to take that? Could he go to the Warriors and say, I'm going to decline this, but will you give me a two-year deal? Or does he go crazy and go, I just want to test the free agent market, because he really hasn't done it like that. So we will see about Kevon Looney, but that'll be an interesting case moving forward as well.
Yeah, I mean, talk about another silver lining, I think, is Kevon Looney and what he's been able to put together, because Steve Kerr even admitted that he didn't know if he was going to be able to stay healthy. And that was a big, they had a lot of trepidation about that when they're having to rely on Kevon so much, and he showed up, and it's really, really good to see from him, because he hasn't been able to do anything like he did that final stretch of the regular season before. So there are a lot of questions about what this roster is going to look like from a lot of different angles. And as we said at the top of this, this team needs to make some roster moves and some roster adjustments, but in the form in which that takes place, whether it's guys going into free agency, you know, player options, people being traded, people signing and trading, it's the draft. It's going to be really interesting how those roster moves come to fruition.
Absolutely. Also, by the way, Kent Bazemore played a huge role in the team. If he wants to stay, I mean, you know, the Warriors would take him back. I know there was some frustration with him. There was some roller coaster with him as well, but he's not a guy that was supposed to be playing 25 to 35 minutes a night. He was a guy, if you can get him in there playing 15 minutes a night, he is excellent off the bench for them. So if they can get Kent Bazemore back next year, they absolutely should. Everyone just, you know, chill out for a second and really think about the role that he's supposed to be in. And then finally, a guy that just fell out of the conversation completely because of injuries, but a person that made the first team all rookie last season, and that's Eric Paschal. He is still on the team. He still has something to prove. That'll be very interesting to see what the Warriors can do with Eric Paschal, because he's a nice piece. He really is. And it's just, it's funny to see how a season plays out where so much expectation for him, James Wiseman, et cetera, and then all of a sudden, we're just not discussing them at all. So that will be something to note. And Kendra, for you and I mean, this is where the real work begins. You know, we were just cruising along talking about the season and all that. But now, you know, I'm excited for having everyone with us. All of you who's been you've been listening with us the whole season, if you've just been checking in recently, we're going to be with you all the time. All these weeks coming up, and we are going to build up this offseason. We'll break down draft prospects. We'll break down free agents, all the movement, injury updates, all that. Kendra, we ain't going nowhere.
No. Staying right here.
Well, I mean, you're allowed to leave your place. You can go places.
Well, TBD.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, we'll sit right here.
I'll move from my chair to my couch to my bed.
That sounds nice. I'm at the studio right now. I would like to go home at some point.
Yes.
That's on my checklist as well. Everyone, thank you as always for joining us. This is Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. Rate, subscribe, leave comments, reread them. We would like to hear what you have to say. All that. And as always, thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.